Hi, I'm Diana, compulsive overeater and sugar addict. And I may be reading some of this stuff, but I've been a compulsive overeater since childhood. I distinctly remember there might be 2 pounds of food, and I could eat a pound, and the rest of the family would have the rest of it. And always strong, strong compulsive overeater. I didn't come from a physically abusive family, but definitely emotionally difficult. My dad was very distant emotionally, and my mom just was not happy. And as an adult, I understand because she had 11 miscarriages. So she was in constant terminal, but there was a lot of yelling. I have two sisters, and we all have eating disorders, and she just wasn't happy, and I can understand why now, but it definitely had long-term effects on us. I know they did the best they could, I was since middle school, was about 20, 25 pounds overweight, but back in the 70s, it was all, well, it still is all about what you look like, but the models. I don't know if anybody knows Twiggy, but I distinctly remember that's when models became bone thin, and that's what you were supposed to look like. And now 20 pounds, whoop. But back as a child in high school, it made a big difference. I also had a cross eye, which also made me feel less than and that I didn't fit in. My 50th reunion is coming up, and it was high school was not, I have not gone to any of my reunions. High school was not a good experience. I didn't date or go to parties. I was very, very shy. And it just was overall not a good experience. I wasn't made fun of or bullied, but I just was ignored, but I joined the Air Force at 18, and it was overall a very good experience. I got to be on my own. I got to travel, but there was always that weight requirement. I was always 5 pounds over the weight requirement. We all tried everything. We would go to the steam room to steam it off. We would try every fad diet. So that was the main problem with being in the military. I liked my job, but it still, my disease, I could not, maintain it a weight they wanted. I still didn't have good interactions with men. I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't think I was worthy. So I never really dated even back then. I got out of the military, and I found a way in the 80s. Back then it was more very more structured on the food plan that I couldn't follow. I got a sponsor, and she dropped me pretty quickly afterwards because she was struggling, and I never again tried to find a sponsor. I didn't want to give up character defects, and I definitely didn't believe in I one was never a problem, but two, I didn't think it was possible. I didn't think that, oh, sorry, that God was there for me or that that could make a change in my life. So I definitely used OA as a diet club. I used the group as my higher power, and that never did work for me. Over my lifetime, over the 40 years since, I've lost over 100 pounds several times, but I was never able to keep it off because a surprise, surprise, that nothing else changed in my life. I wanted immediate results. I wanted to lose the weight because now I'm perfect and I'm going to have a perfect life. And it doesn't work that way. I went to college at 27, and I became an occupational therapist, and I just wasn't good at it for a few reasons, but it really didn't help my self-esteem. But I joined the military again because I really wanted to try to retire, but my weight became more of an issue. Like I think I got up to 200 pounds and busting out of the largest size uniforms there were, so I didn't stay in. And in the past, I had a lot of regrets over that I wasn't good enough, that my friends who retired, that I just wasn't good enough. Yeah, my higher weight got worse and worse, and my time in program got less and less, and that's the way it would have stayed. At 40, I met my son's father. The relationship was not good from the beginning, but I was so lonely and so isolated. I continued in it, and actually got pregnant at 40. And my son had a birth injury. He was without oxygen for 10 minutes, and so he was in ICU for a month, and that was very traumatic. His dad and I are like polar opposite about everything. And my son is also autistic, but every decision, it was a complete, disagreement on everything. He was a hoarder, and to live with a hoarder and my disease, both active to say the least, was not good. There was also a lot of yelling going on. I don't think my son understood what was going on, but he I really, well, he never saw two parents that were kind to each other, and that was not easy. He didn't really understand what was going on. I stayed in the house with him because I needed his help with some extra childcare, because it's extremely difficult to find childcare for special needs kids. But it wasn't good for anybody, and my top weight became 300 pounds. The last 12 years I worked before I retired, I worked with special needs and physically ab abused daily, bit, thrown across the room, you name it, and they were pretty violent. And so at work I was physically abused, and at home it was an emotional abuse situation. So to say the least, I ate to stuff the feelings. Barely functioning, barely able to walk upstairs. It wasn't good. And it probably would have stayed that way, but my son's father was killed last December riding a bike, when a truck hit him. And it completely changed everything. I also had torn my Achilles tendon with an orthopedic boot, and then I had to have GYN surgery. So my fear over who was going to take him or what's going to happen was totally overwhelming. In New York, they don't get placed in residence unless you're on your deathbed. And this was basically it, and my family is 4 hours away. And he was placed in emergency basis in residence. And I have had insomnia off and on for 25 years. It really kicked in. I was maybe sleeping 3 hours a night, and then I was in pain all day long, and I was about as suicidal as you could get. But things started to improve. He was placed permanently in residence, and the miracle of miracles is that he's happy. He's not asking to come back home with me. Even one time he actually said to me, "Mom, you're coming here too much." And that was such a joy that he is settled and safe, because it's hard to describe. I mean, we all worry about our kids, but he's not capable of being on his own, and he is taken care of, and that's a miracle from God. I came to OA about last April, and I had lost a lot of weight from the stress because I couldn't eat, but then I got better physically and emotionally, and I came to OA, and it finally clicked. I had my spiritual awakening. Nothing, to me, nothing could have gotten worse than that. And let me just see. Oh, I wanted to read this one thing. This was at a recent meeting, page 308 of Lifeline. "Finally, I let go. I decided to take the steps to walk with God, and guided by a sponsor, work the program as written. My higher power woke me up after a long sleep and said, 'Come with me and I'll show you how to be happy and feel love and never be alone again.'" Sorry. I go to two meetings a day for the most part since last April. I have found a sponsor who is local, which is amazing, and I was able to do my fifth step with her. And I weigh and measure the foods that I prepare. I'm in a senior community, and I do eat some meals downstairs. My absence is very comfortable. I've been sugar-free since last April, and for the most part, flour-free since September. I God is my higher power now, and that works for me. I'm truly blessed in that area.
You're at the 10-minute mark, Diane.
Okay, thanks. I'm almost done. Yeah, thanks. I do the rapid 10-step when needing. I practice truly amazing 11-step. I finally came back to my church this last year, and that is very, very helpful. I just finished the 12-step workshop, which was amazing and very intimate and highly recommended. I'm still working on character defects, gossiping and judging people, and it's so ingrained, it's hard to believe that I live like that. I lived a life of anger and resentment and gossip, and I am no longer anger, and I'm not filled with resentment, and I don't regress the past. When his dad was killed instantly, he didn't have a chance to change anything, and I have had that opportunity to enjoy what time I do have left. As far as amends go, I do a living amends to my son. I see him 4 hours or 5 hours on the weekend, and so I try to be the best mom I can be. And because he's a kind, sweet, innocent person, and he's funny, and I can't even tell you all the funny stories. And he's happy, and that is truly a blessing. I know that I am good and deserving whatever weight I am. I am at goal weight, but I am good and deserving no matter what, and I never felt that way. I read and write, and I have begun to sponsor. I do service, and both are very rewarding, sometimes a little stressful, but I can exercise now, which I couldn't before. I can walk up a flight of stairs. I can wrap a towel around me, a regular size towel. I don't hide now. I always wore black pants. Now I don't. I couldn't figure out how to share pictures, but I wear colorful things, and the people here like know me because I'm a little flamboyant, and that's okay because I like. It was always, don't look at me. Don't talk to me. I would go to meetings, don't say a word, and now I t talk to everybody in the food store, no matter grocery, wherever. They don't always have to respond, but I say hello and start conversations. And some people look at me like I'm nuts, and some people do the conversation. I have lost 140 pounds, and sometimes people even here will ask how I did it. And I do have a fatty liver. I say that a lot. But if I think somebody could be helped by program, I do tell them. A lot of people don't understand sugar as an addiction, and they don't have to because we do, I have people in my life and things to do, and I am happy with myself and my relationship with God. I appreciate each and every day that I'm still here, and I am filled with joy and serenity. And I have gotten most of the promises. And that's it.